Hello and welcome to Two Old Guys on the Back Porch. I am Steve Scotch, and we have the lovely and talented Kat. That's C-A-T, rocking the boat. Kat, what's happening?
Hey, how y'all doing? We can be found on Spotify and Apple Podcasts and many other podcast platforms. We also can be found on Facebook and Instagram. Give us a follow. And if you found me on TikTok, well, TikTok to you. The two towns we're going to shout out today are what I would call not even really towns, they're villages. One is called Brownside, Derbyshire, England. Not a whole lot could I find about this town, but it used to be the big hunting forest there for William the Conqueror. That's back in 1086. Our other town is Haysblick, Germany, a small town near the Hays National Park. They're in the Harrys Mountains. Come on. Giving y'all a round of applause.
All right. Everybody knows love makes the world go round. But bourbon makes it go around twice as fast.
Hello, you're married for 33 years.
Woo, today, what does that got to do with it? Today, I'm back on the bullet bourbon in a shot glass. My favorite chaser, Mountain Dew. That's how I do it. Kat, what you got?
I'm just having me a lovely Fritz 75 with a lovely gin.
Woo-wee, sounds sweet like you, babe. With October knocking on the door, Oktoberfest is fast approaching, which is an event that I believe is clearly overlooked here in the divided states of America. Every October, everyone has a reason to drink too much beer. Of course, the Germans started the party in Munich in 1810.
Right.
And God bless them for it. Before we get too far into this, I want to take something back that I said on a podcast long ago. I said German beer sucks. Well, that was one of the dumbest things I've ever said. I've got a plate of crow here. I'm eating the crow. The dog's eating something else and making noise in the background.
Chippy,
always eventful here on the back porch. Though I do stand behind my comment that Heineken sucks. Okay, I will go with that.
Well, you remember there was one that was called Löwenbräu?
Yeah.
When I was in Germany, they called that export. We'd send that someplace else.
I think they're still making that. Yes. I haven't seen it. It was a green bottle. We drank it because we thought it was cool.
Right.
But it had that wang at the end. When you drank it, it was like, Back to Oktoberfest. Last year, went to the Total Wine Store. Right down the road from here, you probably got one near you. They're called Beer and Wine Warehouse or something. They're all the same. So I picked up this Oktoberfest beer called Ayinger. A-Y-I-N-G-E-R. Just grabbed it, picked it up. Had no idea what it was, and struck gold. I was told by one of the young ladies working there at the Total Wine store that Oktoberfest beer, it starts popping up around mid to late August. So I go in the Total Wine store the other day, which is the middle to end of August, and I'm looking for the Ayinger. Because they get so many cases of it and it disappears. Okay, they only brew it, you know, so much. It's not on the shelf all year long, like a crappy American beer. So I go in there and look for it, and it's not cheap. Okay, my bank account is not set up to drink some of these awesome German Oktoberfest beers year round. It's just like a special treat at the end of summer leading into fall. So I go in there, and they don't have it. So I see this other Oktoberfest beer called Paulinger, spelled P-A-U Laner. Not that expensive. Four cans, each can's like a little over a pint for $10. And on it, it says, it's the number one beer at the Munich Oktoberfest. So I'm thinking, yeah, right. Sure it is. Bring it home, chill it, bam, it's good. I mean, really good. So the point of this whole thing is, these different brews, if you try something different, sometimes you strike out, and sometimes you strike gold. And I know that when Oktoberfest rolls around, I'm going to try some of these awesome German beers. Now, Kitty Cat, she wants me to get on an airplane one more time. And hell, if it's heading to Germany during Oktoberfest, I'm all in.
Okay. I've been to Munich. If you want to go there during, it's only like maybe 20% of the people there in Germany during Oktoberfest are tourists. Everybody else is pretty much local. But if you go there, you know, the Hofbräuhaus or whatever, there in Munich, during the other parts of the year, do not go unless you just really, really, really need some German beer, because it's a place of a lot of, it's a tourist trap and it's a lot of alcoholics hanging out there.
Well,
but there in Germany during Oktoberfest, there are like 14 large beer tents. The German bartenders are so efficient, they can fill a liter of beer, a stein, in 1.5 seconds.
I want a stein for Christmas.
A stein for Christmas.
Look, it's like a 13-day party.
Right,
am I right?
Right. I mean, if you're going to go and do it during Oktoberfest. Really.
I mean, we do have some...
Although there's 600 to 800 people suffering from alcohol poisoning each year, but you know.
What? Well, the beer they ship over here from Munich, the ones I've tried so far are on point. And they will, people will go, oh, I don't get a buzz from beer. You will get a buzz from this, I'm telling you.
Okay. Albert Einstein went work as electrician during the Oktoberfest there in the beer tents in 1896.
Who did?
Albert Einstein.
Fucking Albert knew. He was smarter than everybody anyway.
Oh, but even better, Paris Hilton is now banned from Oktoberfest because she showed up to try and push some canned wine thing.
What a loser. See, they're very protective over there.
Yeah, it's no culture stealing there.
The beer there can only be brewed in Munich.
Right.
Now, here in the States,
and her outfit offended also.
Paris Hilton, it's like a Kardashian. It's like, you just want to flick it in the ashtray and go away. We kind of overlook Oktoberfest here in the States, but I mean, we do party.
I had, my physician growing up was German, and he would always go, there was a big Oktoberfest thing that used to be at the old fairgrounds every year. And
right.
He would party that time every year, so.
Right. I mean, we do have Oktoberfest parties here in the States, attended by thousands and thousands of people.
But they don't do it like Munich do it.
Canonsburg, Pennsylvania, they throw it down. New York has an Oktoberfest. They've been Oktoberfesting forever.
And reminder, they start in September, even though it's Oktoberfest.
Right. Leavenworth, Washington, major blowout. Helen, Georgia, brags to be the longest running Oktoberfest in the States at 52 years. Helen, Georgia. Fredericksburg, Texas was actually founded by Germans in 1846. Major 3-day party with a yodel contest.
Hey.
That I could probably win.
In your brain, yes, you could.
Mount Angel, Oregon. Denver, Colorado. Milwaukee, Wisconsin is at the top of the list of throwdowns for Oktoberfest. Minneapolis, Minnesota brings it every year. La Crosse, Wisconsin is in the top three. Stowe, Vermont, best Oktoberfest in the Northeast. And Cincinnati, Ohio.
Ohio.
A must go. Probably the best Oktoberfest in the States.
But if you do go, make sure you have vomit-proof sneakers there.
Whoa. I'm glad I took a chance on the German Oktoberfest brews. It kind of opened my eyes and my taste buds. Look, you know, if you like Coors, Budweiser, Miller Lite, that's cool. Do your thing. But I am going to get me a big beer stein. I don't have one. But Christmas time is here again. I'm going to get one for Christmas and a baby.
Oh,
Santa's
yeah.
going to bring me a big old stein.
Ho, ho, ho,
and
baby.
I'm going to fill it with some big, awesome Oktoberfest brew, brewed in Germany. And by the way, like I said, the only beer allowed at Oktoberfest in Germany must be brewed in Munich. I love it. No outsiders allowed. Now, you know, our amigo friends, they have Cinco de Mayo.
Which has basically become American drinking festival.
Which is a great
festival.
Reason to drink Mexican beer. Which, Mexican beer, I like Modelo, I like Corona, I like it. Hey, Germans have Oktoberfest. Just a two-week drinking awesome throwdown. And they do take pride in their product.
Oh, yeah.
They do.
It's superior.
It does show. I have tried it. That stuff's good. What do we have here in the States? Crickets. Crickets. We got nothing. Because our water in a can beer,
it's
really not worth celebrating. Now, Oktoberfest, it may be a little overlooked here in the States, but not by me. There's an Oktoberfest going on near you this year. Give it a try. All right, let's roll right into one tough son of a...
The dog is on me.
I'm petting him.
All right, this week we got one tough, awesome lady. He's breathing on me. Mary Pickford. How about that? Born in 1892 from Toronto, Ontario, Canada.
First Canadian to ever win an Oscar.
Killed my fire.
Sorry.
I remember hearing the name Mary Pickford, and I really had no idea what she did. And, well, what she did was act, produce, write, started a film studio.
First woman to head a production studio. I mean, we think a lot of what Reese Witherspoon does with finding books and production. Mm-hmm. And if you were use the word production, you're using your own money, basically, to get this film to eyes.
Involved in all parts of the creative process and was known as America's sweetheart.
Right.
During the silent film era.
Right. She hooked
very up with, pretty lady.
Very beautiful.
Kind of a like innocent looking.
Right.
I
mean, Douglas Fairbanks, this was his second marriage when he married Pickford, and she was only like 5 foot tall, so his son thought she was another child.
Wow. Mary Pickford's first major gig was in 1907 in a Broadway play called The Warrens of Virginia.
Well, she didn't really want to go to film, but then she found whether there were some dollars going over there, so maybe I'll do that.
Well, you know, she, I said the innocent look. She played a child's role many times.
Right.
Even though she was a little older. The Poor Little Rich Girl, Rebecca of Sunnybrook Farm. How about that one? Pollyanna. The lady was probably the first actress to pull major bucks.
She was the first woman to be a million-dollar actress.
Owned her own production company. United Artists.
Put her own money into films.
Right. Let's see. What was it? Her, Charlie Chaplin, Douglas Fairbanks, whom she married.
Right.
For like 16 years. I think they started that production company. Douglas Fairbanks, he was a handsome dude. And they were most famous, probably the most famous couple back then.
Right.
Until Douglas strayed. There's a lot of straying back then.
Straying.
Mary Pickford has been honored in every form and fashion. A star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. Handprints, footprints at the, what's that Chinese?
Grauman's Chinese Theater.
Yes, she's there.
And she, since she was 5 feet nothing, she had very small feet.
And don't forget, She's got a Google Doodle.
Google Doodle.
In honor of Mary. But most importantly, there's a cocktail named after Mary Pickford because this lady did like a good cocktail.
And what was the name of the cocktail, dear?
It was called the Mary...
Pickford?
I don't know. And that makes Mary Pickford
one
tough, awesome lady. Did we stop watching?
We are always watching. And this is one I got woken up by CBS Sunday Morning because it was a great interview. And the production is called Bad Monkey. It's a new show on Apple TV. Let's see. A detective turned a restaurant inspector in Key West is pulled into the greed and corruption to find a tourist that has a severed arm that showed up while they were fishing. Oh, and there is a monkey. Anyway,
Bad Monkey.
Vince Vaughn is in this, and he's doing a great job.
Love Vince.
Okay. It's based on a 2013 crime satire by a writer who also wrote for the Miami Herald, American author Carl Hilson. And Hilson, most of his novels are about the changing of Florida. A lot of it is about new Florida versus old Florida, development versus nature. I've been raging on about the paving over Florida. And I understand this because today we found out that little Hitler, I'm going to call him little Hitler governor of Florida, is pushing some bill there in Florida for the seven state parks there in Florida to all of a sudden now have pickleball courts and hotels and golf courses. You're doing this in what's supposed to be protected land there in Florida is pickleball courts and hotels and golf courses.
Florida's all swamp.
Well, yeah, but you should protect that swamp versus, you know, the Everglades.
Maybe they'll get mosquito bites on the pickleball court.
Anyway, I can understand what Carl... I'm a nature girl, and I can understand what Carl is kind of raging about. And so far, I've only seen like an episode and a half of this, and it's pretty good. And I'm not the only one who thinks that, because it has like a 92 on Rotten Tomatoes, so I'm not the only one. So far, it's been pretty good. If you want to watch a nice dark crime comedy drama
called
Bad Monkey,
on
that you can find it on Apple TV.
Bring it, Vince. All right, I need a shot after that. What do we got?
Okay, continue our fireball.
Oh no,
it is called the Hot Nuts. It's half fireball, half hazelnut liqueur, as also known as Frangelico.
We have Frangelico here, yes, on the back porch.
We've had shots using that.
Hot nuts?
Hot nuts.
Remember, this could be spicy.
It could be spicy, but nutty at the same time.
There was a hot nuts dude down on Gray Street back in the day. Don's Hot Nuts.
Don's Hot Nuts.
What's weird about that is it does taste like hot nuts. It does. I'm telling you. What are the ingredients again?
Fireball and Frangelico.
That's it. Who comes up with this shit? I don't understand. People just mixing shit up and going, hey, it's hot nuts. It does taste like peanuts or walnuts that had some Old Bay sprinkled on it. I don't know what that is, but it's not bad.
It's not bad. It's yeah, I like that one.
All right, fix me another. All right, this week we were bumpered in with a band the cat's been waiting for 3 years?
We're in our fourth season, so okay. This has been four.
Garbage. They are not garbage. Formed in 1993 from Madison, Wisconsin. The awesome Shirley Manson on vocals, Duke Erickson on bass, Steve Marker on guitar, and don't forget Butch Vig on drums. Now, Vig and Erickson, they had been in other bands.
Let's see, Spooner and Firetown.
Okay, and they were looking for a female singer.
Right.
And then they were watching 120 Minutes and saw this band called Angel Fish.
In their 1993 debut.
And Shirley,
Suffocate Me.
Shirley Manson was a singer. for Angelfish.
Right.
And they liked her voice. They liked her style. She is very stylish.
Now, the band's name was inspired by a friend who frequently told them their music sounded like garbage.
Oh, that's how they got that? I didn't know that. Anyway, Angelfish went belly up. So, on the beach. And no pun intended. And so, she went and auditioned.
Right.
For Butch and Eric. And
she
Eric
said the early jam session was a disaster. But she still got invited to join the band.
Okay. Anyway, garbage was formed. First song out of the gate was called Val, which is just a kick-ass freaking song. If you've never heard or seen this band, here comes Val. So many good songs. Stupid Girl, Queer, I'm Only Happy When It Rains.
I'm Only Happy When It Rains.
Love that song. Kat and I saw Garbage here in Richmond a few years back, right?
Right.
The band was so appreciative of the crowd. It was a great crowd there. It was a great night.
Okay, they did perform a tune for a Bond movie. I don't remember this. The World Is Not Enough in 1999.
Okay, all right.
If you want to hear them, they will be at the Donny State Beach there in Dana Point, California, September 27th.
Dana Point! Jim Rome's going to be there. Check out Garbage, wherever you get your music. I want to thank everybody for hanging out on the back porch. We'll see y'all down the road.
See ya.